Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, I'm your host, Anthony Donahue, with you. Going to take you up until 10 p.m. right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/AnthonyPDonahue. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And, of course, you can pick up your phone and you can call the show at 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554, and I'll be taking your calls throughout the evening. You can also log on to my new website, www.anthonydonahue.com. It's, you know, basketball and hip-hop site, mostly Knicks right now, but that's anthonydonahue.com. And, of course, make sure to log on to theknicksblog.com for all your up-to-date New York Knicks information. Hope everybody had a great New Year's. I'm wishing everybody a great 2013. I love you all. Your support for me over the years has been tremendous, and I wish everybody nothing but success. Nothing but success. So I thank you all for joining me on this wonderful Wednesday evening, although if you're a Knicks fan, you might have lost some sleep last night, as I did. In a little while, we'll be joined by Tommy D from the Knicks Blog. He'll be joining me to talk some New York Knicks. And then after Tommy, we'll be joined by up-and-coming hip-hop artist and big New York Knicks fan, Denzel Porter. Denzel just released the big-time mixtape that dropped about a week and a half ago called Porter's Pot. Make sure to log on to denzelporter.com. You can download that. And Denzel is an up-and-coming hip-hop artist. He's very good. There's a lot of you that might not know about him yet, but if you don't know about him, you need to know about him. And we're going to talk some Knicks with Denzel. And also, DP is going to kick some exclusive rhymes on this show that nobody has heard yet. So that's going to be fun. So let's get right into it. Last night, the Knicks had, to me, not a meltdown loss, but a very bad loss to the Portland Trail Blazers, losing 105-100. To me, if you're a championship team and you have aspirations of winning a championship and playing in June, you cannot lose home games like last night. It's going to happen. I'm not worried. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not freaking out. But bottom line is, you cannot let mediocre teams come into your building and be up 19 points on you when you want to be a championship team. Not acceptable. Not acceptable at all. Am I worried? No. Are there some concerns right now? Yes. There definitely are some concerns. Is it something you should freak out about? No, you don't think it's anything to freak out about. Is it something you should tweet and say, oh, Ant's going crazy? No, not that. But there are definitely some concerns over the last six games. The Knicks are 2-4. And there's no doubt the Knicks are missing Raymond Felton. But I think the guy, and I'm not making injuries as an excuse. I'm not going to do that. But if there's one guy the Knicks are missing, man, it's Rasheed Wallace. Who would have thought in training camp when the Knicks brought in Sheed and he was probably a little out of shape that come January we'd be saying the Knicks are missing Rasheed Wallace? Who would have thought that? But I think there's no doubt the Knicks miss Rasheed Wallace. I mean, he hasn't shot the ball great this year, but they're missing him from a defensive perspective, a rebounding perspective, and just the things, the intangibles Rasheed brings, whether it's setting screens or, you know, just roughing somebody up or talking out on defense, giving instructions out. The Knicks miss him. The Knicks miss Rasheed a lot. They definitely do. But last night, Amari, the biggest story of the last few days is obviously Amari Stoudemire making his season debut. He hasn't played since mid-October when the Knicks played up in Montreal versus the Raptors. And it was great to see Amari back on the court last night. Didn't necessarily have a huge game with only 6 points, but he did have that one thunderous jam that got the Garden fired up, and I was happy to see. He looked very rusty, no doubt about that. But the standing ovation for Amari was awesome. I got chills for it. I got chills from it. I was at the game, obviously, and seeing Amari, you know, give a kiss to the fans, I thought that was awesome. I thought Amari Stoudemire deserved that. He's one of the most hardest working players you will ever see. So I'm very glad that Amari Stoudemire is back. Only played 16 minutes last night. Scored 6 points. You know, defensively he looked awful. His timing looked awful. No doubt about that. But I can't see the downside of Amari Stoudemire coming back, though. I can't. Anytime you can add a player of that caliber as your legitimate second scorer, it is not a bad thing. I know Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire, their record since they've been together in February 2011 has been under 500, but under Mike Woodson, they are 8-3 together, counting last night. So I don't see the downside. I know some fans are worried. At the game last night, there was a guy by me who basically Amari could not breathe right without this guy getting all over stat. But I think eventually Amari's going to get his timing back. I think he's probably going to stay on the bench the rest of the season. He'll come off the bench, and that's fine. Nobody wants to see this thing work more than Amari Stoudemire. No one wants to be part of a winner in this town more than Amari Stoudemire. And the bottom line is, I think come crunch time, as Amari starts to get his timing back, he will be on the court. And it won't matter if he starts. See, to me, too many people are making a big deal on whether Amari Stoudemire starts or whether Amari Stoudemire comes off the bench. Nobody down the road, when you're telling stories to your grandkids, you're telling stories to your kids or your friends or your students or younger people, no one says, oh, he's started or not. You talk about who was on the court in the fourth quarter. Who was there in the trenches? Who made the shot with 2 minutes left to put the team up 4? Who hit the big shots? I think when he gets his timing back, when it gets to crunch time, the Knicks are going to miss Amari Stoudemire. The Knicks will have Amari Stoudemire out on the court. Obviously, I said the Knicks miss Rasheed Wallace, and there's no doubt about that. The Knicks haven't had Raymond Felton since the Los Angeles Lakers Christmas game. Then the Knicks miss Raymond Felton in a huge way. Huge they miss Raymond Felton because Jason Kidd's playing well. He's been phenomenal this year. I think Jason Kidd will continue to be phenomenal. But the bottom line is Jason Kidd is 39 years old. I'm not saying he's going to break down, but you can't expect that much from a 39-year-old point guard. And Raymond Felton might not be back for another 4 to 6 weeks still. Probably 4 weeks away, four or five weeks away. I mean, there's a chance, guys and gals, listening to this show right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Give me a call, 646-478-5554. There is a chance that we don't see a full New York Knicks squad until about Valentine's Day. Maybe even March 1st, depending on, you know, if there's a few, knock on wood, a few setbacks. You might not see a full squad until Valentine's Day or March 1st. And bottom line is, I'm not making excuses either. As mad as I was about last night's game, as much sleep as I lost, there's some adjustment periods. You have an adjustment period right now. Marcus Camby, he's starting to get adjusted. He's going to be a big factor. You're going to have Rasheed Wallace coming back. You have Amari Stoudemire coming back. You're going to have Raymond Felton coming back. And oh yeah, another guy, Iman Shumpert, coming back soon. And that's going to be a big adjustment period. So the Knicks are probably not going to be at full strength and ready to roll. And when I say roll, I mean roll. They've definitely been rolling all season at 21-10, first place in the division, second place in the Eastern Conference. Hey, if the playoffs started today, the Knicks would be number 2 seed. When was the last time you could say that about the New York Knicks? Try 1994. The Knicks haven't been number 2 seed in the playoffs since 1994. Trivia question, who was the number 1 seed in those playoffs? Atlanta Hawks. But they lost to the Indiana Pacers in the second round. And the Knicks beat the Pacers in the conference finals in 7 games. Oh, man, that was awesome. I was 10 years old then. That was awesome. And here we are, basically, 19 years later. Still no championship, though. Oh, man, I just want to see that one championship. I mean, I talk to my friends about it every day. Think about it every day, just to see that one championship. I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm speaking for all my fans. We'd love to have 2. We'd love to have 3. But we're not Lakers fans. We're not Celtics fans. We're not greedy. We're not Spurs fans. I'm speaking for all Knicks fans here. I think I'm right. We just want to see one. And if we got more than one, cool, but we just want to see one. And the Knicks have a chance this year, but they're going to have to get healthy. They're really going to have to all get on the same page. And right now they're going through a little slump, but I do not think it's really anything to worry about. But the last night the Knicks wasted a huge game from Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony came out and had 45 points. Was phenomenal. Knicks were down 18 points with 4.5 minutes left and came back and cut it to 3. I mean, they should have never been in that position. But Carmelo Anthony came down with 15 seconds left in the ballgame. I thought that shot was going in. I thought that 3 was good. But he missed it, went off the back for him. And the Knicks had their chances. And how about Damian Lillard, the Blazers' rookie point guard? Is he a stud or is he a stud? I mean, he is phenomenal. He is awesome. So much poise. He's like a savvy veteran out there. Damian Lillard's no joke. No joke. We're going to be joined by Tommy D from the Knicks blog in a little while. Denzel Porter a little while after that. Denzel's going to talk some Knicks. Okay, he's going to rap. Tommy's going to talk a lot of Knicks. So we got plenty to talk about. Let's go out to the phone. 646-478-5554. Also, you can tweet me, Anthony MSG, and I'll read a few tweets on the air. 646-478-5554. Let's go out to the phones and let's start off with OC from Queens. OC, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks blog radio.
What's going on, man?
What's up, OC? How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, brother. My second time calling into the show, man, and I follow you on Twitter, of course. So I was just listening to the first part of the show, and I agree with you. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. You know, I just feel, you know, this is kind of, you know, 82 game season. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Don't need to win every game. But some things you said definitely want to touch on. The Rashid impact. Huge not having Rashid in there. You know, he definitely brings a stabilizing presence on that court. We also talked about they definitely miss Raymond Felton with the penetration and the speed. You know, kid, great point guard, you know, definitely Hall of Fame guy, but they're missing Raymond Felton with his speed and his penetration, definitely on that court.
And his defense, Ray's a pretty good defender. He's a good defender.
Absolutely.
He's not Gary Payton, but he's a pretty good defender.
No, but he's a pretty good defender. He can, you know, slow down a lot of these, you know, faster guys. You know, so also having Stat back, great last night. Awesome to see the standing ovation for him and everything. And,
it was.
You know, definitely. I would caution people, be patient with Stat. You know, he's just coming off a knee injury. It's going to take some. He even said last night in the interview the game seemed like it was going 100 miles an hour. So he's definitely got to get his timing back. I did like a couple of things, though. Watching him and JR on the floor together, I think that can be key coming down the stretch of games, you know, or him coming in with that second unit. You know, when Chandler comes out and Brewer comes out, to put JR and Stat in the game, I think that's definitely an upgrade. You know, especially
I want to see Stat. You know, heavy in the pick and rolls, whether that's with Ray.
Yes.
We know what he can do with Ray. Jason Kidd's one of the best, even at 39 years old, he's still a great passing point guard.
Awesome.
And Pablo. You saw him and Pablo run the pick and roll pretty well last night. So when
yes.
Stat's in the game, whether it's with the second unit or the first unit, I want to see heavy pick and roll action with Stat.
Definitely, because we know how great he is on the pick and roll. A couple of concerns, though. The slow starts for the Knicks. You know, what's going on there? You know, they get down in these, you know, 10, 15-point holes in the first quarter, and then they have to play from behind, you know, coming down the second half of games. Definitely a concern. And what's going on with Ronnie Brewer? You know, he's in there for his defense, but, you know, the shots are not falling. And, you know, early in the game, you know, 3-4 minutes into the game, he's coming out and JR's in the game already. You know, what are we going to do with Brewer?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Ronnie Brewer hit his first three last night, so I think it was December 9th. Yeah, Ronnie's been in a little bit of a slump. I thought he was, you know, listen, I'm a big Ronnie Brewer fan. Comes on the show, great guy. I did think he was shooting a little bit better than he should have been. He still doesn't make many mistakes on the court. He still doesn't turn the ball over. Still plays very good defense, but I did think he was shooting a little bit out of his mind. So, you know, but now he's shooting worse than he probably ever has, but I think Ronnie will at some point get back to that middle ground where he's not going to shoot like he did earlier in the year, but I think he can still be a productive player. He's just a smart player.
Yeah.
He doesn't make many mistakes. He just needs to knock down those open shots when he has them.
Yeah, and I would like to see him penetrating and slashing a little bit more. He seems to be a little bit more effective when he's actually slashing into the lane.
He's a quick, strong player. He can get to the rim, make layups, you know, dunk the ball. Yes, I'd like to see more from that Ronnie Brewer offensively.
Right. And we were just talking about Damian Lillard last night. Jesus, that
he's awesome. How about that?
Was
he, listen, I know I was heartbroken after that three-point, but when I was driving home, I said to myself, man, as a basketball fan, I actually appreciated that play because that was just, you know, think about it, almost 20,000. I'm so used to saying 19,763, but they changed the number with the new season, so I'm not sure what it is anymore. But I forgot. But anyway, almost 20,000 people standing up, chanting defense. This kid just so much
poised.
Just walks up, sticks that three-pointer, and barely even celebrates. As a basketball fan, not as a Knicks fan, because a Knicks fan, I was ready to kill somebody.
You appreciate that.
That kid is good. That kid is good, man. I hope the Blazers save me. Hold on.
Definitely a stud. Definitely a stud. Can't knock him at all. Yeah, so, but, you know, other than that, I'm happy with where the Knicks are, you know. You know, I would just like to see the starts and tougher defense, you know, in the first half of these games, you know, because it's almost like the Knicks are asleep, especially in, you know, some first quarters, you know, and then they get put in these huge holes and then they have to play from behind. You know, we saw it in the Chicago game. You saw it in the, you know, in this game last night. You know, they're having to come, you know, in the Sacramento game, they're always having to play from behind. And like, what's the problem? Why can't they play?
Five of the last six games, and the Knicks have only won two of those six games, they've had to play from behind. You look at the Rockets game, they were down the whole game. You know, they flat out got their ass kicked that game. The Nets game, they played better. The Lakers game, they were playing, you know, I guess they were playing from behind a little bit. The Suns game, they played from behind. The Kings game, they were basically behind all game. And the Blazers game, they were behind all game.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, what do we have to do to like address that? You know, why can't they play as well?
Excuse me. What a terrible job out of me, by the way. Rockets. I wrote these down. Rockets, Nets, Bulls game. Sorry, I missed the Bulls and the Wolves. Mm-hmm. My bad. Bulls game.
Yeah.
Behind all game. The Timberwolves game, which
Wolves
they
game.
Squeaked out a victory. They were behind all game.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like, what do we have to do to address these slow starts? You know, we got to play as hard in the first half as we are in the second half. Because obviously in the second half, when you look at these games, they're outscoring a lot of these opponents in the second half of games. You know, but why can't we get it together in the first half?
No, I'm with you, man. But great job calling in. Got a bunch more calls on the air we want to get to. But good call, OC.
Definitely. All right, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Give me a buzz. And OC's right, man. I mean, look at the last eight games. The Knicks have only won three of them. And they seem to be playing from behind a lot. They seem to be playing from behind a lot. Even that Timberwolves game they won, they're playing from behind. Suns game they won, they're playing from behind. Got to have better starts to the game. And I think they will. Just a little funk right now. It's just a little funk. I don't think it's anything to get worried about, but it is something to talk about. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go, and let's go to Baltimore, and let's talk to Ron. Ron, you're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Anthony, how you doing, man?
Ron, how are you?
Doing good, man. I was the one that sent you that link to Game 6, baby.
Oh, that was you. Let me tell you something about that, Ron. Sorry I didn't tweet you back. I think I did.
No worries.
Here, let me tell you a story about that. I have one story about that game that I've never told to anybody, and I'm going to tell you and my three listeners. But before I tell you the story, I haven't looked for Knick games on YouTube in like 2 or 3 years, to be honest with you. There was a time I would just like be bored and just look for random games. And that was the game I haven't watched. I watched the whole fourth quarter. Thank you for sending me that, by the way. Thank you so much. What's that?
It's my favorite Knick game. The last one I went to. It's my favorite game ever.
It's one of my favorite. If you follow me on Twitter, I've probably said that before, and I said it on the show. But the thing is that I have never found that game. Been looking for that game for years on YouTube, and I've never found it. There's two games I wanted to find. Maybe you can find this one, too, for me. And game two versus the Raptors in the same playoffs in 2000. I was at that game, too. That game was phenomenal. I mean, the Knicks were down 16 in the fourth quarter. Latrell Sprewell, my guy who got arrested on New Year's, was playing his music too loud. I mean, come on. I mean, how you let the brother live? Come on.
My Twitter is Sprewell. Dude, my favorite moment with Sprewell, you're asking for favorite moments. My favorite moment when he's holding up the orange towel.
That was
what
I was going to say, man. That was what I was going to say, yep.
That's my favorite moment.
Mine too. Mine too.
And he didn't. I don't think he really called timeout, but it doesn't matter.
Timeout. Which at the end of that game?
Yeah.
What was that after Clarence Weatherspoon missed the shot?
Yeah.
No, was it that play? Was that the play? No, because right after he missed the shot, didn't time expire?
Well, I mean, he had to call timeout. He was like, his foot was out of bounds, but they gave him the timeout, and then we inbounded the ball to just win the game with like point something seconds left.
Right. That's right. Because I think Chris Childs threw the ball in the air, right?
Yep.
That's right. The timeout. I forgot about the timeout. That's right. He was falling out. Right. They had an inbound with like what, a second left, and like they threw the Childs in the backcourt, right?
Yeah, that was my favorite moment with Spree. But, man, I'm glad you got the game. I'll try and look it up for you. I get all the games from one guy. He put them all on YouTube, so I'll hook you up, man. But
yeah, game two versus the Raptors in 2000, I was at that game. That was just an incredible game. But let me tell you, so quick story about game six in 2000. It's kind of embarrassing. I was 16. I did not go to that game. I actually watched the game. I was in high school, so I was, you know, I think I was a pretty popular kid in high school. There was a lot of things going on that Friday night, and I'm like, there is no way I'm watching the game near anybody tonight. So I'm like, there's a few reasons. If the Knicks lose, the season's over, and I'm going to, like, have an emotional breakdown. Because something about those 2000 playoffs, and I wasn't 100% positive, I thought that could be the last run. And looking back, it was.
Right.
But I just had a feeling, man, like, this could be the last run. So anyway, Knicks are down 18, 15 at the half. I went for a walk around my town. I lived in a small town upstate. And I remember I had an away message up at the start of the game. Remember, instant messenger was a big thing back then.
Right.
And I had an away message up. I went to go check the computer. I had like 30 messages on instant messenger. Everybody's basically telling me the season's over. And I didn't respond to any of them. So the Knicks come back, and that last few – such a defensive battle that game was. I mean,
it was beautiful. That's bad. That was beautiful basketball, even though it was
every
so ugly. It
was
beautiful.
Earned. And so it comes down to those last few plays, and, you know, Allen Houston goes to the line and hits the two free throws, gives the Knicks, I think it was a 72-70 lead. Is that correct?
Yep.
And, you know, the last play of the game, this is where
I thought
score
it was going in.
Well, that too. This is a story that nobody knows. It's kind of embarrassing. The last play of the game, Alonzo Mourning has it in the post, kicks it out to Anthony Carter. Anthony Carter takes the shot. He misses the shot. I went so crazy. Because I was going so crazy, but it wasn't even a crazy of joy. It was more a crazy of relief. Because in the back of my mind, we still didn't win the series. We still had to go down to Miami and win game seven. So
were
I
you
went
in shock?
No. So I'm jumping and screaming by myself, jumping up and down. And all of a sudden, I broke down and cried.
I mean, I was crying at halftime of that game in the Garden.
This is tears of joy. Like, after that game, I was just like, that was almost more emotional than Game 7 versus Heat that year. I don't know why, but that
just,
Game 6, maybe because it was at the Garden, but I completely broke down and cried by myself in my room that night for, like, two straight minutes. Like, tears coming from my eyes because I was so, like, emotionally invested. I mean, game. I'm like that. I've been like that my whole life, from preseason to the last game of the year. Well, not like a playoff game, but I just broke down after that game. I just broke the hell down.
No, I hear you, man. Dude, it was one of my favorite games. Just quickly on the season, Anthony, what I think.
Sure, go for it.
I love what he's done with JR. I absolutely love it, and that's why I'm really not concerned about Amari. He came out today. He's willing to learn, man. And I just believe in this coach. I think he's the kid. You saw him get into Amari's grill, and he's going to do the same. He does it with all the guys. And when we get healthy, and this is all dress rehearsal, everybody's got to be patient. I'm a little bit worried about Brewer, you talked about, and Steve Novak, but I think we'll be okay.
Steve Novak, could you make a shot? It's okay.
I mean, like you talked about, you've said this, you've been on record, you've said, I don't really care, just be a shooter, be you, but you got to do that,
man.
So many
people want so much from Steve Novak. I remember someone tweeting me last year saying he could be a Glenn Rice type player. Are you kidding me? Glenn Rice could get 25 a night with his eyes shut. Steve Novak, all I want him to do is be a spot shooter, because that's all he can do. I'm sick of him trying to put the ball on the deck, create his own shot. Dude, just be open and shoot. That's all
I
want you to do. We know you're not going to guard anybody anyway.
And I'll leave you with this, man. I wouldn't mind just bringing Sprewell back. That's my favorite guy. Bring him back. If he needs more money, he can't play without music anymore, bring him back, man. You have a go.
Yeah, I know, but the only problem is, after you cursed out Dolan that game in 2003, I hate to say it, I don't think it's going to happen.
Hey, a man can pray, man. You have a good one.
All right, man. Thank always, man. Thank you for the call. I appreciate you checking in. Thank you for sending me that today, last night. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio will be joined by Tommy D from The Knicks Blog in a few minutes. 646-478-5554. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Kenyon from Brooklyn. Kenyon, you're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, The Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony, what's going on, man?
What up, Kenyon?
What's up? I don't want to echo too many things what other people saying, but
well,
let's break it down with let's break it down with Woodson. Mike Woodson, I think he's going to win Coach of the Year probably this year. If
gotcha.
I'm Mike Woodson, let me tell you how I'm moving forward. Now, okay, All-Star break's coming up soon. You really measure the team after the All-Star break. You want to hear who's in my rotation, who's not getting no more burn, Anthony? Here's my starting lineup once everyone gets healthy. When everything plays out, we get healthy. We're going to start Felton, Shumpert, Chandler, Copeland, Anthony. That's your starting five. Off the bench, the only people I want to see come off the bench.
Starting Copeland?
I'm starting Copeland. Copeland,
I don't like
a few games
starting. I'd rather but go
wait,
the bench.
Let me break,
like
let me break it down. Let me break it down for you. I'm trying
okay.
to get my most athletic players. Copeland could bring it. He could bring it. I'm thinking.
I'm not saying he can't bring it. I don't know about him starting.
All right, there go my starting five. Okay, let me give you my backups, okay? I want to see Kidd, Smith, Amari, Wallace, White. That's my top 10 players. That's the team that we're going to be rolling
deep.
What
about Camby? What if Camby gets right, though? What if Camby
gets
right?
Listen, I'm breaking it down for you. And listen to me. And
all
I'm
right,
breaking
break
down
it,
for you
baby,
right
baby,
now.
Break it.
Okay. The only other two plays that could get some burn, just say, depending on matchups, after the top 10 now, I just gave you my two first teams of Knicks, first team, second team. We could give Brewer some more burn. Brewer's actually playing injured. His knee's not. If you watch his gait, he still has that knee issue. And Novak. Camby, Thomas, Prigioni. You guys can stay on the bench, clap your hands, do what you got to do. But those three are my least.
You know, but Kenny, if he gets right, I'm giving Marcus Camby a chance, man.
Nah, dude, Marcus
Camby
came back in the first game and almost got messed up Melo knee again. That dude Camby's washed up,
that
dude.
That wasn't his fault, though.
That wasn't his fault, man, falling down because he don't got his legs underneath him. Camby is not the truth no more, dude. This is 2012. You remember when Camby from back
still,
in 99?
2013, actually. But he
oh, yeah,
still,
yeah.
I'm tripping.
It's 2013. Look at that. It's 2013. You're talking
but
about Camby back in 99. That's 14 years ago,
and he still block shots. I'm giving more.
Nah, he's not getting no
burn.
We got that in the top 10 plays. You want some block shots? You got Chandler. Chandler got length. Copeland got length. Rasheed Wallace got length.
Copeland
got
no
length. Key. Don't worry, we're going to be all right. And I'm just telling you. I see my
Chris Copeland can't guard a tree.
Don't worry about it. He's going to be all right, man. We got other players on the team playing defense. But the thing is, he brings what Novak brings because he could extend the D too. I feel comfortable, and I'm not saying his shot is as good as Novak, but I feel comfortable enough with that man's shot. That man just came into the league, played overseas, and he's putting up points, Ant.
I'm all for Copeland getting burned. I'm just saying he can't play defense.
Yo, Ed, this is the real deal of how basketball is played. It's 48 minutes. It's 12 people that get to dress. 3 people get to sit down and wear their suits on. So I'm telling you, people that I want to see wearing suits is Camby, Thomas, and Prigioni. And the only thing is, you can't play everybody. You got to shorten the rotation eventually. I'm talking about the team that's going to lead us into the championship, at least get into the Eastern Conference Finals. Another crazy story before you get the guests on or whatever, I'm watching the other Knicks, the other New York team, and Mike Fratello had his top five NBA scorers. You want to hear which two Knicks made the top five? How about Carmelo Anthony's number one, and he had J.R. Smith as one of his top five scorers in the league. And that's what I'm saying. You can't play everybody, man. I know we love players. I mean, I'm glad he's trying to keep everybody rested, keep us healthy or whatever. But when everybody get healthy, you can't play everybody. I gave you my top 10. I said we could put in Brewer and Novak if need be in some games. But the other three guys got to chill. You can't play all 15 guys, Ant. People minutes,
right?
Remember, Shump is coming in. He's taking minutes. Amari's back, minutes is taken. So the minutes he's taking, Amari's taking Thomas and Camby minutes. They don't need to play no more. That's all. And then you bring Brewer in. Not Brewer, you bring in what do they call it, white. I'd rather see white play. White got athleticism. I don't need to see these old dudes, man. The dudes I kept off of the rotation is Camby old, Thomas old, Prigioni old. That's all. And then Novak, all right, Novak's all right. He can come in and we need a strip.
Yeah, I'm
defense.
Not giving. I'm by no means giving up on Novak. He just got to hit open shots. You know, stop trying
to
do so
I mean,
much.
I can't say
shots.
He got no off the dribble. I mean, we're going to be all right, at. But remember this. You can't
I
play
agree.
All 15. You can't play all 15 guys. I just broke down. I just showed up the rotation to see, let you Knicks fans know in advance who you should be seeing on the court. Come down when it's reaching March and April towards the end of the season. You can't play all 15 guys. I mean, if you clinch the division, you may give early or whatever. You could give some guys some more burn to keep them fresh or just whatever to get into the playoffs. But when it comes down to it, and you have a 10-man rotation, the top 10 players on the Knicks, as far as I'm concerned, as far as
but
what
here's
they
the thing
do.
Also, Kenny. Here's the thing also, Kenny. And always thanks for checking in real quick. But, Kenny, you also come to playoffs, you're not going to play 10 guys. You don't play 10 guys in the playoffs, so, you know, but we'll...
Oh, yeah, so if
we'll
you
want
to break it out, you
want to
break
that.
It out
in the playoffs,
further?
You can't play 10 guys.
Oh, you want to break it out further? You can't play 10 guys in the playoffs? Well, the guys you won't see playing in my top 10 is going to be probably Copeland and White.
James White.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Then you're going to have Felton, Shumpert, Chandler, Anthony, Kidd, Smith, Amari, Wallace. That's it. That's your
right.
Eight-man rotation,
no, but here, and Kenny, as always, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in, man.
No problem.
But remember,
man, take
when,
care.
When thanks for always calling in, Kenny. Always appreciate you. Obviously, when Shumpert comes back, I don't think he's going to start right away. But I think, especially if Ronnie Brewer, who hasn't played well the last month, doesn't pick it up, you might see Shumpert in the starting lineup sooner or later, because I'm not sure how long they want to go with the Kid and Raymond Felton backcourt, although it was working pretty good. But Ray will be back in probably 4 to 5 weeks. 646-478-5554. Right now on the line, he's a good friend of mine. He is my co-host for my Spreecast. And my producer, Billy, says he's on the line. He wants to call and check in. So let's bring in Chris Delgado. Chris, what's going on, man?
What up, man? How's it going?
Good, Chris. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
So what brings you in tonight?
Latrell, man. Latrell.
Latrell, okay. That's fine.
I had a call and his pickup for my man Latrell. I mean, really? You're going to get arrested on New Year's Eve for blasting your music, and then the cops don't want to release any details about it other than they had a couple of complaints? Like, I mean, I really do feel bad. I feel like he's
still in jail, though, is he?
I don't think so. I mean, there's not much. Everybody has the same report, but they basically say, you know, the cops have the same statement that every you know news article has, and that they had a couple of complaints and two within an hour, so he got arrested for disorderly conduct. I mean, really, blasting your music on you can get arrested for blasting your music on New Year's Eve? I mean, well, what town does he live in? Is this like where Footloose took place?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
I mean, it'll bad, you know, and somebody made a good point. I bet you if he was blasting like Call Me Maybe, they wouldn't lock him up.
I wonder what song he was playing when the cop came.
it reminds me of the scene, you've seen Higher Learning, right?
Yeah.
When the cop's coming to break up the party, like, that's exactly how I picture things going at Latrell's house.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what the hell is going on there.
But definitely, I don't know if I have a favorite Latrell memory per se, but the 99 playoffs series against Atlanta, where we weren't necessarily favorites going in, but, you know, Latrell, Allen Houston had a great series also, but Latrell...
Allen was awesome.
Latrell beasted that entire series.
He actually, Spree came off the bench that whole series in games 1 and 2. He actually had 31 points in each game.
Yeah, by far. So I feel bad that he's got to, like, you know, have his name drug through the dirt, I mean, for blasting some...
Yeah, man. You know, he kind of did it to himself. You know, the Timberwolves offered him a 3-year, $21 million contract. He turned it down.
$21 million, yeah.
And, man, I don't know what he was thinking, man. And I don't think it's... You know, he's not the only athlete to wind up in some trouble after their playing days. It's a shame, man, because I never met Spree. You know, I've heard he's an okay guy, but as a kid, man, he could do no wrong in my eyes. You know, especially, I mean, obviously, you know, he's obviously not a, you know, maybe he might not be a humanitarian. Obviously, we know about his issues with PJ and everything, but as a fan and a kid growing up, man, when the Knicks, I was devastated when the Knicks traded John Starks, but I'm not going to lie, I fell in love with Latrell Sprewell after his first preseason game, January 27, 1999, versus the Nets, man. He was awesome.
I mean, I'll come out and say it. I mean, at least you and I have been watching Knicks basketball since, you know, I mean, for a while now. We go back, but like he's one of the greatest Knicks of our time.
He was, and he's the obviously him and Mr. Dolan don't get along well or at all. And to me, Spree's the forgotten Knick. The organization acts like the organization, and I love the organization. The organization does a lot for me, but the organization acts like Spree was never there. I know him and Dolan don't get along, and I get that, but they act like he was never there. You know, it didn't end great with Spree. He had the issue on the boat when he broke his hand, didn't tell the team, and it obviously ended terrible, and we came back with the Timberwolves in December of 2003. He cursed out Dolan, but you know, it's almost like they act like he didn't exist. And I guess it's tough when, you know, you throw relationships into it. But fans love Free Will. But he's the player that no one seems to talk about anymore, because if you notice it, you know, the Knick games and the show memories. I mean, it's like he did not exist.
That's a good point. You do not see any Latrell images at the Garden. You don't see him at any Garden highlights. That is a great point, Ant.
And here's the thing, if you look at the Yankees over the last 30 years, and I'm a pretty big Yankee fan, not as big as I used to be, but I'm a loyal Yankee fan. If you go to Yankee games over the last 20 years, there's been many players that have had beefs with George Steinbrenner, but think about the boss, if he knew the fans liked those players, he would still show them on the screen because, you know, he knew fans loved them, but with Dolan, it's like it's a grudge, man, and you know, they make it like he never existed. You know, he on Legends Night, you know, player of the decade. I mean, let's be honest, man. It was Spree.
That is true.
And that's not on Houston. It was Spree.
I will say this about Steinbrenner, though, because I'm not a Yankee fan, and people know that about me. But when Joe Torre was not on that highlight video.
Well, yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, but, you know, of course, after later they brought him back. I'm not sure if it was after Steinberg died or not. But, yeah, man. But, Ant, thanks for taking me a call, man. Good talking to you. And, you know, keep up the good work.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Bye. That was Chris Delgado. Thanks for calling in, Chris. Really appreciate it, man. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go, and let's go to Jeff from Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air at thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Go on, Anthony.
What's up, Jeff? How are you?
Not much. Good. I mean, we'll do a little bit better than Knicks are playing better these last couple of weeks here, but, you know, all in all, you can't complain being a Knicks fan, you know, 21-10. You know, things are going good. Can't complain, but, you know, the injury is the one thing that's really hurting this team, and obviously, you know, losing Raymond Felton, you know, with the hand and Rasheed Wallace with his foot, you know, have been two big losses, and I think they're also, you know, you're starting to see the, you know, Knicks are missing Iman Shumpert. They don't really have that elite perimeter defender to guard the quicker players like a Damian Lillard last night, you know, going nuts, you know. Kid's a good player, but he can't stay with them defensively. No, the Knicks, I mean, all in all, they're playing well, and, you know, it's going to take a while before Amari gets back into the flow of things and, you know, gets his rhythm, and they're playing well together, him and Carmelo.
Oh, yeah, it's going to take Amari a few weeks. Amari's not going to get his rhythm and timing back overnight. It's just not going to happen.
No, and, you know, I don't think it's the fact that I don't think it's him and Melo don't mesh. I think him and Chandler aren't a good fit together. Cause, you know,
yeah,
when
I mean, we've seen that. We've talked about that.
You know, when Amari's playing well, you know, he's playing well at the five. You know, he's not, you know, him and Melo are pretty much playing the same position. So I think the Knicks should look to get him a little bit more minutes at the five, you know, maybe when Chandler gets off the court and play him together with, you know, Melo at times. And like you said, down the stretch in the fourth quarter when you need that scorer out of the five position.
Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying, and I think that's where they're going to have to try and mix and match where maybe you don't play. Because if you looked at last night, even though, you know, Amari's not back to where he was yet, I didn't think there was many problems with Melo and Amari together. But you're right. I think Amari and Tyson together can kind of be a little – it can get a little clogged up down there.
Exactly. You know, when Amari was going up to set screens for Melo up top, you know, he's bringing the defender over, which is getting a little bottlenecked, and there was nowhere to go with the ball. But, you know, the Knicks have been playing pretty sloppy on defense the last couple of weeks. I don't think yesterday they couldn't hit a shot to save their lives. You know, that was one of the big reasons they lost the game. I mean, the first half, it seemed like every shot was going in and out. But their defense has really been, you know, hasn't been up to par lately. you know, you'd mentioned that, you know, every game it seems like they're down 19 points before they get into the game. You know, I don't know what it is. It takes Michigan now 13, 19 points before they get their act together and, you know, actually get back into all these games, which is actually a feat in itself. I mean, it seems like they're in every game, even though they've been down, you know, big time. You know, 20, was it 29 or 27 against the Kings?
Yeah, 27 points. I mean, you should not be in that position. I know Melo was out that game, Ray Felton was out, but you should never be in a position where you're down 27 points to a team that's just bad.
Exactly. Especially at home last night, you know, you can't come. And I think it's always, I don't know why the Knicks always play on, you know, New Year's Day or, you know, New Year's Eve. It just seems like they're just not into it, though, you know, the next day. You know they had a rough night the night before. And it's just,
oh, of course.
It takes them a minute to get going, you know. You knew they were going to come back in the second half and they were going to have a slow first half. It just seems like they never can get going right, you know, right out the gate. You know, first two quarters seems like they have to get down, and then for the guys to get their acting together.
And if you look at last night, they were down 18 with 4.5 minutes left, and actually cut the lead to 3. I mean, you shouldn't be down 18 with 4 minutes left to the Portland Trailblazers. You just shouldn't.
12 or 15 to like four and a half minutes left in the game, and they still got, you know, they had that last shot. You said Melo had the ball in his hands with 20 seconds left. I thought it was going to go in. You know, just a little bit short front-ended.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought Melo's three was going in, too. And look, I mean, especially he was ready hot all night. I thought for sure that was going in.
And that's his spot on the court, too. That's the same place he hit that shot against, you know, the Bulls last year. Exactly, both shots. And I just thought it was good, but... You know, I think they'll get together. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. You know, you don't want to see them lose three in a row, but they're going to play, you know, a tough team in San Antonio tomorrow. So hopefully, you know, they get their act together. And you need to get Rasheed back because they're a little bit, you know, they don't have enough depth up front right now. You know, with just Tyson, you know, they need Rasheed back, to, especially playing against a team with Duncan and what's his name, the Brazilian.
Splitter?
Splitter, there you go.
No, tomorrow night is going to be a tough game, and make no mistake about it, unless Greg Popovich rests Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan, and Danny Green, and Splinter. The Spurs definitely remember that sixth game of the year when the Knicks went to 6-0 and beat them down in San Antonio. Trust me, the Spurs have not forgot about that game.
Definitely. So they're going to be up for this game. So, you know, hopefully the Knicks are up for it. You know, do you think they're going to still bring around Amari slowly here? They're going to play him 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Amari go from playing 16 minutes last night to 35 minutes tomorrow. I think, listen, like this is different than past years. This isn't the type of year we're fighting to get an 8 seed. I mean, at the end of the year, as long as there's no major, you know, digging in the ground, the Knicks are gonna be a number 1, 2, or 3 seed this year. So this is almost like a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. So I don't think the Knicks are going to rush Amari. They're going to, you know, bring him back slowly. And you should. That's what you should do. It's not like the Knicks are at 500, fighting for that 8 seed, sell out 2 games in the Garden. This is different this year. This year they're competing for something bigger. They got bigger plans in mind. So you can't take that chance and rush Amari back.
Definitely. I mean, I think they should keep their eye on the prize. And I mean, it's not about winning the Eastern Conference. It would be nice for them to do it. But, you know, just win the Atlantic Division, get a top, you know, 1, 2, or 3 seed, like you said, and let's get home court advantage up for the first round. And you never know.
It would be the first time since 1994 the Knicks have raised a banner in the Garden. We're not counting the conference. You know, I mean, obviously, they won the conference in 1999, but first time the Knicks have won a division since 1990, if they win the division, which I think they could, since 1994. It's unreal.
That's crazy. The Heat won it all those years.
What's that?
In the late 90s.
Yeah, the Heat won it 4 years in a row, but the Knicks, 5 years in a row, as a matter of fact. The Heat won it in 97, 98, 99, 2000, and 2001. Yeah, they won in 2001, too. They were actually a 3 seed that year, but lost to the Charlotte Hornets. And they got swept by the Charlotte Hornets in the first round in 2001. Baron Davis killed them in that playoff series.
I mean, your memory is insane, Anthony. I don't know how you remember all this stuff. I mean, I don't know how you remember that 2000 series. I remember that playoff series, but it's not as vivid in my mind.
I remember every play. I'm just kind of nuts. That's, you know, that's what it comes down to.
You're definitely nuts. I mean, the one thing I remember about that series was Marcus Camby's sister getting kidnapped. It always seems like the Knicks.
That was 2001 versus the Raptors.
That was 2001. That was in 2000.
Versus the Raptors. And the Knicks lost in the first round of that series.
Yeah, because you were mentioning that pretty well.
Yep, but, that was 2001, lost in 5.
Exactly. That was
when the first round was still 5 games.
Yep.
All right, Anthony. Well, I know you got a lot of calls. I'll call back in next week.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you checking in.
All right.
All right, pal, 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Right now on the line, he is, we'll get back to some Knick calls in a little bit, by the way. Right now on the line, he is one of the hottest, one of the best up-and-coming hip-hop artists around. He goes by the name of Denzel Porter, and if a lot of you don't know about him yet, you should know about him. He just released a new project last week called, 2 weeks ago now, boy, time flies, it feels like, oh, God. Time does fly on. It's January 2nd already. Released a new project 2 weeks ago called Porter's Pot, not hosted by DJ Drama. It's an excellent mixtape. You can go to DenzelPorter.com to download it. And right now he's on the line. He's also a big Knicks fan. Denzel, what's going on, man?
Yo, and what's happening, man? What's happening, dog? I hear
nothing,
you
man.
All
just
talking all that smack about one of the best out right now.
I mean, you are. You know, I'm not saying you're Nas. I'm not saying you're Jay-Z. That would just be wrong of me and disrespectful. But I think as far as young hip-hop artists, I think, you know, you're one of the best right now, and people need to realize that.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
And we actually, I was with Denzel and my pal Elgin. We went to the Nas concert on New Year's Eve. That was a hell of
a
show, huh?
Yo, crazy show, crazy show.
And if you've listened to this show, you know I'm a big Nas fan. To all the listeners, why don't you tell the listeners what do you think your favorite? What was your favorite part of the show on New Year's Eve?
Oh, hands down, man, when AZ came out, man, because that was one of my favorite records of the Illmatic joint, Life's a Bitch. So when that joint came on, man, that had to be my favorite moment.
Now that was definitely a great moment seeing AZ and Nas perform. But Denzel, I know. Last time you were on this show, now you were explaining how you always were a Knicks fan, but you weren't, like, diehard, but you kind of, like, grew up with it because you said your dad was a big Knicks fan, right? And you said you got the Jamaican roots, so obviously love Patrick Ewing. Is that right?
Yep. That's on point.
But you said this year you've become a lot more into it. How about that?
Yeah. I've actually been getting more into it for the past couple of years. I don't want to claim the title until I fully understand it, because just like hip hop, you know, sports is a culture, and I feel like, you know, you got to fully understand it before you can actually rep the team and, you know, be engulfed in the arguments and the debates that go on and stuff like that. And I kind of want to be involved, so I got to go through the training first. You know what I mean? But I think I came pretty far.
What are your thoughts so far in this Knick team so far? 21-10 after 31 games. What are your thoughts?
Man, I've been amazed from the start, you know, from when we were going, you know, 8-0, and it's been a while since we were hitting those type of numbers. It's like, it's just been crazy, you know, and with the stuff that's been going on since, like, last year, the ups and downs, and even last year where you had, like, a lot of people joining the fan base or just jumping off the fan base, not really knowing what's going on. But this year I kind of feel like this team is more structured around a team that could fighting for something. Like, every one of those players kind of have something to ride for, from even Copeland, who's just getting in the game, and he's 28. He's got something to prove to even the coach who was second in hand last year is now a first in hand. He has something to prove to show people, like, you know, that he could do something with the Knicks. So I feel like this Knicks team is pretty dope. That's why I like the Knicks team, because I got something to prove right now too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of working with me.
Yep, and the guy the most on the Knicks who has something to prove more than anybody to fans, to media, is Carmelo Anthony. And Denzel, I mean, he has a chance to win the MVP this year. He's been absolutely phenomenal, huh?
Yeah, that would be crazy. Like, I really think he deserves it. Those numbers that he's putting up, even when the Knicks are like, he's still getting those numbers and being consistent with that. I really think he deserves that.
Now, he's definitely been great. So, no, I know you've been a lot more into it this year than past years, and that's awesome. I know one of your best friends, the guy you work with, Elgin, he's diehard, so he must be happy about, you know, you be a lot more into it, huh?
He's like another level of Knicks fanism, like.
No, he definitely is, without a doubt. So,
yes.
Now, when was the last time you were at a Knicks game?
I haven't been.
You've been to one,
right?
I haven't been
to one in a while. Huh?
Well, we're going to have to change that, Denzel. I'm going to have to take you to the Garden.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
I got you.
I know where you be sitting.
I got you, man.
All right, whenever you ready, yo. I know where you be sitting, yo. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I'll probably get you early February. My tickets are booked all of January, man. This is the first. I've had season tickets now for like 10 years, and this is the first year that it's like I know who's coming with me like 3 weeks in advance. Where in past years it's like, yo, I gotta get someone to go to the game with me, and this year it's like my games. I got like 6 or 7 more games in January. They're all booked.
Yes. So you booked
everyone.
Up. You booked up.
I am booked up. It's definitely a lot of fun. Now, I know you were talking about Shump the other night. You know, the Knicks, obviously, they could really use Shump because Shump is a great – he's an elite defender. He's also good on the offensive side of the ball, too. What do you think Shump's going to bring when he comes back to the Knicks?
Oh, man, that's just going to be even more because I feel like he also has something to prove, too, just like everybody else because he's been out for so long. We want to see what he's going to do when he gets back. You know, and he's so confident about it, and I kind of believe in his confidence because he did pretty good last year to be, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like when Shump comes back, it's going to be a little bit more of a problem for everybody else.
What do you make of Shump as a hip-hop artist?
I think I heard the freestyle. I heard it on Vapors NYC. It was pretty dope. I want to know if he was really freestyling or not, you know what I mean? But it was pretty dope.
He actually just released another video of another song. I don't know what it's called. I heard it once. It's kind of
smooth.
Wait,
this one's
pretty
a video?
Good. Yeah, it's a video. I forgot what it's called, but it's not bad.
I got to check it.
I mean, if I was him, I would, no offense, I'd definitely stick to basketball, but it's not bad.
Well, some people, it's either basketball or rap, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the basketball players want to be rappers. The rappers want to be basketball players.
Yep, because I still want to play ball. I got hoop dreams.
Yeah. So let's talk about you right now, Denzel. You just most people that listen to this show are big hip hop fans. Also, you just released Porter's Pot a few weeks ago. This is your second big project. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about Porter's Pot? Talk about. Like, give the listeners some insight if, one, they've never heard of you, or maybe they've heard of you, and they still yet to listen to Porter's Pot. So tell people who even have not heard of you. There's somebody listening to this show right now that likes hip-hop that has never heard of Denzel Porter. That's not an insult at all. They've never heard of you. Why should they go to DenzelPorter.com and take the minute and a half, whatever, download Porter's Pot and listen to it? Why should they do that?
Well, I'd say... First off, let me tell everybody, you know, all right, let me start like this. I go by the name of Denzel Porter. I'm a boy from the Bronx, New York, the origin of this hip-hop thing, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to do my thing. And you go to check out my site because I'm bringing something different to the table. And I don't really want to just say that. I want to kind of let the music speak for itself, bringing a whole other type of inspiration to artists like myself and other people out there trying to do their thing. And that's what you get from Porter's Pot. You see, when you get Porter's Pot is short for Porter's Potential. So if they go to my site, DenzelPorter.com, and they, you know, download Porter's Pot, you could get a taste of every angle of music I could do and still get the concept from it rather than being all scattered all over the place. I don't want you to get it confused. And if you go back to Homemade Music, which was my first major project, kind of, you would get that. You would hear my foundation. You would hear where I was building from and where I was coming from. You know what I mean? So you go to my site right now, you could get a full insight of who I am, where I am right now, and you can join the wave. You got to join the wave because we're going to keep going, man. It's a movement. The movement's hard to stop.
Talking up-and-coming hip-hop artist Denzel Porter right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Denzel, nowadays, and it's been going on forever, but even more now with the internet, everybody wants to be a rapper. Everybody thinks they can rap. Everybody has a mixtape. Everybody has an album. Everybody's about to sign a record deal. I remember, I'm not going to mention his name, although I haven't talked to him in like 5 years. I remember I used to play basketball at Waterbury Park all the time over in Throgs Neck, and there was this dude, man. He was funny. He wasn't a terrible rapper. For a guy in the park, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows that guy in the park, you know what I'm saying? And, yo,
yeah.
Every time I saw this dude, son, he would be like, yo, the album's about to drop. Like, you know? And, yo, like, he'd be like, he's the nicest guy, too. He's a white kid, actually, nice kid. And he'd be like, yo, I met with Raekwon last night. I just remember that. So he's like, yo, me and the chef met. I'm like, oh, yeah. I feel like he was totally making it up, too, not to be a jerk, but I just think he was. So then I remember one time, homeboy comes to the park. I was like, yo, what up, man? He's like, yo, he spit something. Yo. Oh, as soon as he gets to the park, he'd always spit. He never played ball, though. He'd be that dude in, like, 95-degree weather with baggy jeans on the side watching everybody play, but spitting rhymes on the side. So then he'd always talk about people that said he was hot, but then he was like, one time he was like, yo, I met with these producers. I'm like, who was it? He's like, big name. I'm like, Dre, Havoc, Premier. He's like, I can't talk about it. Well, I hope he makes it. I'm rooting for him. But that said, I kind of got off track. That said, what separates you from any other, you know, any other rapper? Because even me from my show, how do I separate myself? How do you separate yourself from so many people in the game?
Well, I think that type of thing is where you draw from the music, like that you get from the music. In terms of separating myself, like what I do is, I don't want to say it like this, but I kind of keep it real. You know what I mean? And I'm like a product of my environment. So like I'm from the North Bronx, uptown. You know, I got a different culture coming from where I'm about to talk about. You know what I mean? And where I'm coming from, and that's what separates me from them. So once you hear the music, like you hear a whole nother story. You hear my storytelling. And you know, the separation comes down to the techniques also, you know, with the flows and the storytelling and the punchlines and the lyrics. You hear all of that, you know what I mean? I don't want you to think I'm just a cliche hip-hop artist. I really want you guys to check it out, you know what I mean, and see what I'm talking about. Airport is potential, you know, airport is pot.
I'm with it. I've become a huge fan of your work, obviously. I even, you know, we were hanging out the night, in the middle of the night, I'll just start rapping your stuff. I don't know if that makes you feel uncomfortable or not, but I do it. I'll text you some of your hooks, and you'll be like, God, this dude is crazy.
Word, I know. You texted me my own lyrics.
So when you get those texts, you just laugh, or you just like, oh, this dude?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that do other people do that?
Yeah, man, all the time, like, but it's cool.
I remember one time I was going,
I really like it when they pick up on punchlines and stuff like that.
I was going running one time over the summer. I was going running up Bartow Avenue. We were actually both from the North Bronx, actually. I think that's why we relate. And we look like twins. But we're both from the North Bronx. I mean, I grew up off Gun Hill. And you're 230, we're on Neary.
I'm 230.
But I was going running up Bartow Avenue. I actually heard a car playing your music a few months ago, and I'm not going to lie, I got chills. I was so happy for you, man. That made me feel really good.
Yeah, that happens so frequent lately. Like, a lot of my friends come in like, yo, one of my friends is like, yo, you know this guy? You know what I mean? It's a part of the start, though, you know? That's why I got to tell people, join the wave, man. Don't wait till it's too late.
Now, one thing I want to ask you about, Denzel, and this is what I love the most about your work. I love your records. I bump them loud in my car. But what I think you're the best at, personally, I'm sure other people have told you this as well, maybe not, I'm sure they have, you are phenomenal live. Why are you so good live? Now, some people may haven't seen you perform live, but not every great rapper is great live. Denzel, you are incredible live. Why? Why are you so good live? Is it something you practice? Because when you're live, you really rock.
I think that it's because live is kind of where I started. Like, you know, I remember I had a show when I was in like fourth grade, you know, and that's when I was doing live before I was recorded. And I, with this Caribbean background, my father brought me to a lot of shows. And one thing that I drew from a lot of shows from dancehall artists and other hip-hop artists as well, is that people like energy, and I like to throw energy no matter what the song. You know what I mean? Like, I try to make sure that energy is balanced out for the crowd, and people love that. You know what I mean? So that's one thing. I'd say that's why my shows are so live, because I get that energy. It's well-balanced energy. It's not too much. It's not too much that it looks corny. It's not too less. It's not too little, so it looks too conceited and too confident. It's just right. You know, and I think that also comes from my crew, Rec House. Like, you know, we throw parties uptown, you know, so we're used to being in the crowd, so I know how to rock in the crowd and out the crowd, you know?
All right, Denzel, before we let you bounce, you said you wanted to spit some stuff, and I believe you're going to spit something that's going to be released soon. I'm not sure I've heard a few of these exclusively already, I'm not going to lie. I've heard a few things. Listen, I got connections, too. And I know you said you wanted, you're going to spit a verse. You want to spit something that will be on your maybe your next project in the next year or so. But you said you got something new to spit.
What you want me to spit?
Well, I mean, like, I'm not your boss, so no, I'm not. I mean, I know the whatever you want. I know the two that come to my mind are that one fast beat song and then that one with your boy. So, I mean, whatever, you could do both. You know, people, like I said, my listeners love hip-hop. So if you want to do both, a verse from each, I mean, go for it. And you said you want to do acapella, right?
Yeah, I do acapella since it's so fast. I'm not really sure how the quality going to sound being that over the phone.
I have a few beats. I mean, I could play it real quick and see what you think before you rap.
Nah, let's do it because it's going to be fast. It's fast, so I don't want it to be too jumbled up, you know?
All right, so, you know, you want me to give you a countdown?
I can just start it like this.
All right, go for it.
I'm super fly. I'm a boss with no suit and tie. Hustle until I got a coupe and drive. Trying to pull up to the block with a roof inside like a pit bull locked up. When I get out, I'ma tear the whole block up. The motherfucker that's done, he talking shit, but he frontin'. And we had to get his gun before he runnin' from the block. I block. Jump 238 balls. Nigga, I'm the one who make calls. Before you try to come against me, better thoroughly read these 48 laws. Middle finger to law while I'm gripping my balls and I'm holding my own. You a shooter, right? How come you holding it wrong? I'm known up in my zone. I walk alone up in my zone. No DNA of a dude I play. I got that chrome up in my zone. Niggas know your tone up in my zone. They get it on up in my zone. That thing go like that tone up in my phone. Man, let that go. You won't do that. We be pushing products. Anything you want, I got it. That boy hot like Papa's porridge. And my bitch, it look like yeah. Top 5 uptown, I got it. And if you think money stink, you probably think I smell like garbage, don't you? Or you want to hear some lyrical shit, man?
You could go, listen, I got, you could go one more. You do that one verse from that fast song, from the NYC beat. And then after that, I'll have to get to my next guest, Tommy D. He's on the line. We're going to get to him right after you bounce. So why don't you spit one more verse from that, and then I'm going to get to Tommy D.
All right, here you go. Nice, you dumb, homie. Retarded, what you may call it. You ain't gum, homie. Dirty mouth, put you in orbit. Plus the rap that you're deploying. Come across is so annoying. And before you do is talk shit, then your phone look like a toilet. Act up and start shit, you'll be wrapped in a carpet. So don't act like it's an accident. You act like a target. I beg a homie, let me be. I'ma make it regardless for my dick big. They probably need a map to get off it. I make you match with your coffin. That's your life in a fortune. A prank on my head. Hit me like, what's the price to get off it? Because the price that his boss has turned his daughter in off. And his wife look like we forced an abortion. His stomach gets torn and up. Damn, man, you keep calling those ones out, man.
What happened?
I said you keep me calling those out, man. I just wrote that, yo.
Oh, I didn't. You could have said something else. I don't care.
Nah, that's good, man. We good, yo.
All right, then, Denzel. Well, one more time, why don't you plug your site and let everybody know where they can go and they can hear your latest project.
Yo, you can check out my stuff at denzelporter.com. That's DenzelPorter.com. Yo, Ant, man, thanks for having me, man.
No problem, Denzel. Have a good night, my man.
You too.
That was Denzel Porter right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Make sure to download his newest mixtape, Porter's Pot, at DenzelPorter.com. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. It's been a great show so far, tons of great calls. Denzel hopped online, talked a little Knicks, talked about his new project and did some freestyles. And right now on the line, he is the author of the Knicks Blog, and he's kind enough to give us a few minutes. I know he's been very busy with the family. And please welcome to the show, Tommy D. Tommy, what's going on, man?
Tone, I mean, it's been obviously way too long. First of all, Happy New Year and continued success on what has been really an awesome journey, you know, for both of us. And when I listen to the show and podcasts and all the stuff that we're doing, I just think back to the day that you know, we're standing there in the Greenberg practice facility center with Brandon Tierney and Debo, and you know, just going around and you know, thinking about how we started from square one and where we are now, and I'm just excited where things have gone and really just incredibly excited about things, where things are going to go for 2013. So it's a pleasure to join you on literally the second day of the year, and you know, let's keep pushing it forward, bro.
No question about that, man. I remember that day. I remember that was when Stephon Marbury actually hugged Ken Berger.
And it was a great picture. And I remember
it was. That's right. There was a picture of that.
it was encapsulated, you know. And most the one thing that I took away, Allen Houston was wearing number 7 that day. Right?
He was.
Jared Jeffries was wearing number 20. And if fans and I you know me, I protected Jared Jeffries for, you know, a better defense the last year and a half of his career in New York because
you were
I
like
thought
his
he was
bodyguard.
Really good help defender. I love Jeffries. He didn't play well on the ball. Stotts put him on Melo yesterday, and that's not his thing. He's a help defender. I think he tried to take one charge yesterday, may or may not have got called. But when we're in the room, think about that. We're in the room. Allen Houston is wearing number 7, and Jared Jeffries is wearing number 20. That's where you kind of sit there and say, something right about this situation. Eddie Curry is being interviewed. Steph is being interviewed. Jamal Crawford, wonderful man. Definitely somebody who, you know, you can connect with right away when you sit down and talk to him. My favorite part of that whole day was when me, you, and BT sat down and talked to Zach Randall. And Bebo was like, I don't do – literally, he was on the tape, so he didn't curse. But he basically was to say, I don't do anything during the year, and I work my way back during the preseason and into the regular season, which is something that Raymond Felton has been killed for over the years. It's always great to have that ability to talk to the players and something that I value over the last couple of years. And thank you for all your efforts and hard work.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a ton. And if you go back to that 2008, Zach actually played so well, he got traded before Thanksgiving.
We talk about the whole process of you know, when Donnie first came in and, you know, professionals running the show, and it wasn't a knock so much on Isaiah as it was how can they be built from the catacomb of what they were, and that's what it was. And I just remember that training camp and that media day vividly because, you know, Donnie came in there and had a job to do, and that was to clear cap space. And as we move forward here, you're looking at a team that's 21-10, and you know, now is injected Amari Stoudemire, who, you know, what was the big prize, quote unquote, in 2010, obviously July, and you know, now is really could be somebody that could be a very difficult player in this whole act and play as they push forward potentially for a top 4 seed in the championship run in 2013.
No question about that, Tommy, and you're absolutely right. And the Knicks are 21-10, 31 games in, and before you even get to Amari and Shumpert coming back and Ray coming back and 4 or 5 weeks after that, let's go back to the first 31 games. And what have been your biggest surprises? And just give me a short version, you know, a breakdown of the first 31 games with some things you've liked, some things you don't like. You know, what are your just overall thoughts?
You know, to me, the first thing that you like is the star player playing at a championship level and an MVP level. Carmelo's been beyond outstanding. Anybody wants to talk about his true shooting percentage and his three-point percentage and all that stuff, you know, the guy's shooting well over 40% from three. And it really is elevating his game to the point of, you know, don't knock, don't question. You know, I'm the guy who came here for the reason. I'm the guy who came here on a mission. I'm the guy that took the challenge that LeBron wouldn't take. You know, and that's real. That's what happened. Maybe he hasn't verbalized it quite well. You know, he's done a poor job in public relations, and maybe the Knicks haven't, you know, really helped him in that matter as well, specifically as it relates to D'Antoni. But I'm surprised. I'm not surprised by the success that a driven player in his prime has had. It'd be like Alex Rodriguez, you know, at 330, you know, 20 and 70 RBIs in July, August, right? there's a long season to go. So Carmelo is where he's at, and that's, you know, that's something that I think Knicks fans, to me, should be supportive of. Another big surprise, not so much big surprise, but something that you're happily surprised about is Jason Kidd. Kidd's played tremendously, right? Mike Woodson
has been great. He's been awesome. He's been like that old guy at the gym that walks in, that stretches for an extra 20 minutes, and you're like, this guy's a chump. And all of a sudden, he's just making all the key plays, and he's staying on the court all morning.
He's the guy that wears long pants and
yeah.
tennis sneakers and just wants to sweat. And you're looking at him, you're like, this guy's serious, right? I mean, obviously, you know, to your point, you don't think that he's as good as he is and he can sustain, you know. To me, I think that his production level needs to be managed, but it's incredibly sustainable for this year, which always goes back to my whole thing of this team has to be all in this year, which is going to take us into the conversation about him. You know me, right? You could take me in whatever level of conversation and in whatever direction, and I will follow you. But to me, this team starts with the level and the MVP production of Carmelo Anthony, the leadership from Mike Woodson, and the amazing quality, good basketball that Jason Kidd has brought.
No, I'm with you on Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has been flat out awesome. But now with Raymond Felton out, Tommy, is it too much to ask of Jason Kidd to play 30 to 35 minutes at the point guard position?
On the ball, absolutely. You know, and that's where the signing of Prigioni was kind of that support, you know, that back end type of thing. You know, we can have a 20-minute, 25-minute conversation, sort of like I had in the office today about the Jeremy Lin situation, and you know, where he could or could not have been plugged in. Prigioni's got to play. The secret and the key for me, what's happened this year in terms of success, has been managing possession, managing turnovers. Having Kidd at the two, having Felton at the one, pick and roll, pick and lob with Chandler, and the kick out opportunities off of Carmelo to Kidd, who can make the extra pass to Novak, you know, in a secondary rotation, or you know, Ronnie Brewer, who was making those shots early in the year. That was great quality basketball. But the thing about the NBA, you and I both know this, I said it before, it's sustainability. You've got to be able to do it. The key, it's just like the World Series of poker. It's just like, you know, a Q school or a major tournament in golf, or, you know, 162 games, or obviously, you know, the NFL all the way up to the Super Bowl. You've got to be able to do it over an extended period of time. And for me right now, the Knicks are in a situation where you have to make sure that, is Amari going to be the guy that's going to give them that extra boost to get them through the next 2 or 3 months? Is Shumpert the guy going to, you know, take them to that next caliber level and improve what they've already done? Sustainability leads to success. We know that they have to be in the top four, and we know they need to win the Atlantic Division. So how does that happen? What process needs to happen in order for that to take place? Remains to be seen.
Talking to Tommy D of the Knicks blog right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks blog radio. Obviously, Tommy, the next few weeks, Amari Stoudemire will probably be playing between 15 and 20 minutes a night. They're not going to rush him back. When he eventually gets to, you know, I'm not going to say 100%, but a good percentage where he can be effective. A few questions. Can Amari play at a high level again? Maybe not as good as he was in December of 2020, but at a high level. And if he can, how does it work?
Okay. Before I answer one and two, you were there last night. I was not. Did you get, not from the fans, you looking at the bench, you looking at the coach, did you get the sense that this was a welcome party? Did you get the sense that
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so seriously, like, you got that vibe that these guys are embracing this guy.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And not, hey, we can't trace this guy. And not, this guy's here because he has to be. Right? Like, you
so last night, even like the first few possessions, which I didn't care because, you know, it's not the playoffs, it's only a game in January. Like, they were almost looking for him obnoxiously the first few possessions, which I had no problem with. It wasn't like huge possessions. Well, I mean, I guess it could have been, could have swung the game a little bit because the league got out of control in the second quarter. But I like that. If you remember, like, when Patrick Ewing played his first game in December of 99 when he missed the first 20 games, like, every time down, the Knicks looked for him almost purposely to get the crowd into it, to get him into it. And that's what I thought the Knicks players did the first few times the Knicks had the ball with Amari Eaton, even though he dribbled out of bounds once and missed a few chip shots. I like that, though, because that goes to your point of, like, it was almost like a welcome back stat, you know, and they wanted to get the crowd into it. And, you know, he was definitely very rusty. But I'm with you. Last night was like a welcome back party. You're a part of this. Listen, all the guys love stats. Stats still loved by the whole team. There's never any bad blood. I think the players want this to work. I think Stat wants this to work.
And that could be the case, except for the fact that Melo is Ewing. So they're welcoming back, you know, a player. To me, it's the dynamics of the whole thing that I'm still trying to figure out. Melo is playing at Ewing's level, the MVP, the franchise level. Amari is not that player anymore, and he may not make any sense in the offense. I looked at the whole thing and I said, I think they can be very successful at times in pick and roll. They ran it twice, and I wrote about it on the blog, and it's, you know, a couple clicks under. It didn't make any sense to me what Woodson was trying to. He pulls Amari aside and grabs the jersey. Like, to me, a lot of that was great coaching, great teaching, with a slice of a pinch of pageantry, you know, to make sure that, you know, there was a camera there. And, you know, he and Amari, I think, if you read his lips, I think he said, you know, why are you yelling at me? You know, like, and he was defensive. And I think Woodson's job is to bring the whole thing together, but it's not going to be his end-all, be-all. Woodson's job is not hanging in the balance. His job is safe. Amari's role with his team is to, you know, be supportive, be a good second scorer. He wasn't a second scorer. J.R. Smith at 25, or whatever, 20, whatever, last night. And it's continued his strong play. For me, going back to your original question, can Amari play at an elite level to where he was, an all-NBA level, under these circumstances? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I see what you're saying on that, but my thing is that I agree with you. He's not going to be what he was 2 years ago. But then now the second part of my question is, yes, and you're definitely right. When you bring up all those points, it was definitely a welcome back party more than a game. So my second question is, when I knew you were coming on the show last night, the first, and I don't even know if they ran it the first time, when Melo had the ball dribbled at the top in the second quarter, and Amari picked for him, I'm not sure if he passed it to him or not, but either way, I said to myself, now obviously Melo's not LeBron with the ball, and that's fine. Melo's Melo, LeBron's LeBron. But when I saw Melo having the ball at the top of the key, and Amari picked for him, I said to myself, no one knows X's and O's better than Tommy. I need to figure out how can they work in the pick and roll. Obviously, Melo's not a pick and roll player. He does what he does in the wing, and that's fine. But, I mean, that could be a pretty dynamic pick and roll.
What the first one they ran got jumped on the sidelines. And my goal last night, you know, was I had a couple goals. Number one was, you know, to make sure that I pushed pause when, you know, my son needed his diaper changed and you know, put him to bed and the whole thing. You know, number two was to watch specifically, and I Instagrammed and I made sure to pay attention to all that stuff. As I need to do more Instagramming, and that's part of my New Year's resolution. But, you know,
we live in such a messed up world, man.
Isn't it crazy? But
we're all messed up.
I loved how the second pick and roll setup worked. And that was, you know, a quick kind of flip into the lane that Melo found Now, Amari has lived. We're talking about this all day today. In fact, we had a basketball, you know, in the office, and we're doing bounce passes, layups, you know, on these little mini Knicks hoops. And everybody's saying, well, Amari has been such an efficient player and his true shooting percentage, all this other stuff. And it's like, because Nash always gives him the one bounce on the pick and roll, the one, which Pergione did last night too, the one bounce catch dunk. And Amari would have, what, three or four of those per game in Phoenix, in addition to opening up his entire style and other offensive opportunities. You know, purely just talking X and O. Melo and Amari in a pick and roll situation, it's not going to be a bounce pass. It's going to be, not a chest pass, but, you know, a side pass to the middle of the lane that Amari can catch the ball, take one dribble, and dunk it on people. Anything that happens post one dribble with Amari is a disaster. It's a turnover waiting to happen. So what they need to figure out is how does Amari get the ball in a situation where Melo has it and it's a pick and roll? How does he get the ball in his hands to finish? Because that's what he does. He catches the ball, one bounce or not, and dunks. So Melo has got to be that player to facilitate that process. And you saw when they played together, even in, you know, whatever minutes it was, Melo only had one field goal, probably because he was thinking about trying to set Amari up, because that's the type of player Amari is. He needs to be set up in order to be able to score.
Now, what about, which he didn't do last year, and I truly blame him lifting too many weights last year. What about him in that 18-footer? Because if you go back to Amari in 2010, 2011, I mean, Tommy, that 15- to 18-foot jump shot
automatic.
Was automatic. If he can get back to that, can he? Now, that is the jump shot. That's not athletic ability. If he can get back to hitting that 15- to 18-foot jump shot, does that change things on how it could work offensively?
Again, for me, I always go back to that game one in Boston, you know, that double high post stuff that D'Antoni implemented, to where they both were, you know, were clicking together. You remember it. We were in Boston. And I was there for it.
Oh, I remember it. Oh, yeah.
If you want to talk about all the things in your Knicks mind that you sat there and said, this was the point where, holy crap, you know, this was an injustice. I always go back to Tony Douglas' corner three when it was 2:40 or 2:30 to go in the fourth quarter, when Amari drove off the left elbow. He was shredding KG that night. Doc said to KG, you got Amari, no help, you know, just manage. And Amari shredded KG. And it's on YouTube, and I've played it a gazillion times. The play that happened was there was a help, and Amari made the beautiful play of being uncontrolled, kicked to the corner to Tony Douglas. They called a weak-ass charge. Tony Douglas ultimately made a three that would have put them up 7 with 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. So they're down 4. The next possession was, I think, the side out of bounds where they threw the lob, you know, where somebody got caught on a back pick and KG caught a dunk. And then
Jermaine O'Neal had the jump shot the next play down. Oh, man.
You know what I mean? So that series right there was, if they take that first game in Boston, Phillips gets hurt, you know, and maybe Amari doesn't do a weird 360 in warm-ups and break his, you know, his back or whatever. But to me, what it comes down to is it's a very basic and very simple thing. They have the ability to win games, but I believe that they are better with Melo right now. And you've seen it, that they've seen the whole team. I'm trying to figure out where Amari fits in this situation. Can he be a role player? Can he be a role player at 35 or 36, 37? You know, like Camby, like Rasheed Wallace? Sure. You know, but that's not, I mean, that's 7 years from now in his career. He still thinks he's an alpha male, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Tommy, that's what I was going to say next is that, you know, I like Amari a lot. I think he's, you know, has the ability to be, he's an awesome player, really good guy. But, Tommy, let me tell you this right now. He is not planning. I mean, maybe the next few weeks because he's trying to get his conditioning back. I know he's a great teammate, but, Tommy, he is not planning to be a role player. I mean, he wants to be Steph.
He can say, and he can say whatever he wants to. And you know how much I love Ian Begley. You know how much I love Jared Sperling, and I love those guys and how they covered that beat. And Ian had the whole thing about, you know, him, oh, I'll do whatever it takes. You know, he's in his prime. Yeah, I agree with you. He's stat. So if Stat wants to be Stat, right, and Stat doesn't want to you know, take a second seat to what Melo and all the stuff that Woodson, you know, and the whole team has been able to accomplish to this point, what is, if you're Hap Walters and you're Amari Stoudemire, what do? You say, okay, I need to give myself some leverage. I need to give myself some opportunity, which is what we talked about today. Everybody sits here and says Amari is untradeable, okay? Which is great. And I, maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. But the one thing that people always point to is, oh, he's untradeable because he has max money on the cap, and it's most importantly, it's uninsured. So why can't they renegotiate the deal and terms and say, find somebody who will insure his knee over the next 2 years, you know, with that $40 million. That's a lot less risk than what, you know, I mean, Phoenix would have signed him to a two-year $40 million contract at 27 and insured it. So why would he not have the opportunity to go from 30 or 29 to 31 or 32 and have that insurance? Again, it's a legal question. It's something that I don't really know about because the Knicks, as you know, never divulge that sort of information. People, the public knows that that contract is uninsured because of a report. The Knicks never came out, and it.
Right, right, yeah.
Is Amari untradeable to the world, to the masses, to everybody listening right now? No. I mean, yes. What I'm trying to say is, I think he could possibly be traded. Is he untradeable? In my opinion, no. If they work out the finite details of what could be an insurance thing.
Well, for now he's here, and let's just say he's here the rest of the year. Let's say by April. Let me throw this to you, Tommy, on the Amari front. We're talking to Tommy D of the Knicks blog right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks blog radio. Let's say come April, Amari gets his legs back, and he has that athletic burst that he had a year and a half ago. Let's just say that. The burst he had 2 years ago in Boston. Can that work basketball-wise? Now, with point guards, we saw what he did with Ray. Can that work with Ray, with Kidd, with Perjoni, if Amari gets back to that level of, you know, that great level with Melo? Can that work?
I really like, when you thought about their big wins when they first made the trade with Phillips, I really like that team. I really like, it didn't make any sense for the D'Antoni, you know, the whole process and what he does, which is spread it out, stretch four, and pick and roll, you know, all day long, and have you know, other teams score, get the ball out of the rim, and just move back down court 7 seconds less. I like what he did from just a pure basketball standpoint, and getting those guys in the high post together. The problem with that concept, and you know, when you mention Felton, okay, people will say, oh, we should have Lynn, right? Because there's always that weird dynamic, right? Tyson Chandler.
There is some.
And you know that. But Tyson Chandler and Felton have really developed that you know, that poor man's Chris Paul Chandler stuff from
New Orleans. Yeah.
From New Orleans. You know, that catch lob stuff has been outstanding. Until and this is important with Felton, because people say, he's Felton, he's fat, and all this other nonsense. Felton will make that mid-range jump shot, in my opinion, and maybe, you know, I believe that he understands he needs to make it, and which is to say, when the team takes away the lob, when the pick and roll and the help defender and all that stuff, that lob gets taken away. He has to take that, you know, 15, 18 footer from straight on, and he's got to make it. And guess what? He doesn't have a healthy hand. And he hasn't had a healthy hand in 8 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is. Like, you know, as a guard, you know, you play the position. Imagine if you played the game with your hand tied behind your back. And they gave you the straight on look. Like, what fans, and you know this, we've been a part of this site for going on 5 years now. Fans are passionate, fans are emotional, but they also can be somewhat illogical. It's not Felton versus Jeremy Lin. It's not Felton versus Lin Sanity. Ray Felton has a hand injury, and he's had it for going on 2 months, and he was playing at a really high level for a good period of time, so much so that they were beating really, really good teams, and he was playing great. All of a sudden now, his hands don't work, and as a guard, he plays position. What else are you if you don't have your hands crying out loud, right? Get Felton healthy, and you know, now JR is playing great. If JR plays great, Melo plays great, Felton plays great, and they play good team defense, this is a really weak Eastern Conference team. Eastern Conference league. You know, everybody, there's not a lot of really good teams. What I'm saying is they have not had three players playing at an elite level at any point, and they still got 21 wins. I want to see Felton back with JR playing great, and you know, we take the step.
Tommy, what the hell is going on with Steve Novak?
You know, I think the league caught up. I think the league realized that, you know, he's not an NBA player if he's not knocking down shots. I think, you know, it's also a lot of what the hell happened to Jeremy Lin. You know, the scouting report. Jeremy Lin, and I will say this with full confidence based on everybody who I've ever talked to, who I respect at all, and I know a bunch, who will tell me to my face when I ask them straight away. Jeremy Lin without James Harden, that team's got 5, 6, 7 wins. Houston is not a 20-win team without James, or 20-whatever-win team without James Harden. If they put the ball in Jeremy Lin's hands, teams adjust, and then it turns into a youthful, you know, let's figure out what we can do on the fly, and it doesn't work. Scouting reports in the NBA are essential and critical. Steve Novak, last year, short season, kind of caught lightning in a bottle, you know, got his contract. God bless him. He's an amazing
player. And he had some huge games last year, Tommy. I mean, huge games.
And he's had some huge games, and he'll have huge games again. But he can't rebound. To me, the thing that nobody will ever talk about, which was the other night in Sacramento, you watch. If you slowed it up and watched it a couple times, the pass that went out to Game Johnson, Novak should have deflected. Like, it was like such a slow pass, and Novak kind of looked and said, oh, let me go after it, and let me try to get my hand out there and deflect it, and completely whiffed, and it was a wide-open shot. If he stayed home and just put his hand up, maybe the game, you know, maybe it's a different game, and does make a shot, and obviously maybe the next win. Ultimately, Novak is out of rhythm. He's being guarded, you know, on the perimeter, and teams are forcing him to catch and bounce, maybe take two bounces, and that's not his game. He's a catch and shoot player, you can't say a pure shooter is in a shooting slump, because pure shooters never get in a shooting slump. It obviously,
I would agree to that.
There's a scouting thing out there, and he's had months, literally going on 6-8 weeks to adjust to it, he's having trouble.
Tommy, how much as the season gets longer, and you know you're going to start getting to past the All-Star break, how much come playoff time do you see Carmelo going back to the 3 or staying at the 4 or doing a little of both? You know, as they also get Amari more in the mix.
So, and I'll bounce it back at you in terms of the question. Can the Knicks play with Amari and Melo at the 4-5? Melo at the 4, Amari
that's
at the
5. I think defensively that's not, you know, it's not the greatest, but offensively, yes, you can do that.
Okay, so who's your 3?
Well, they've done that. They've played Ronnie at the three before. They've played JR at the three when they've gone small with Melo at the four already. But you've had Chandler at the five because you've had defense. So we've seen Ronnie at the three. We've seen JR at the three even at times this year.
So what's the prime lineup and where's the ultimate opportunity for Amari, Melo, and Chandler to be in the front line together in big spots, in big moments at the end of the game?
I guess it's those three. I mean, it's tough because it's always matchups, but I guess you would say those three with Kidd or Felton, or those three with you probably want JR, you know, big playoff game. You probably want JR out there at the end of the game. So I'm going, I guess, with those three, JR and Kidd or Felton. But also, you know, you could, depending on the situation, you could have one of those, you know, obviously Melo's in there at the end of the game. You could have Amari or Tyson on the bench, depending on the situation, matchup, fouls. But obviously Melo's, the two guys that I want in at the end of the games, in big games, I want Melo 100% and JR 100%. And, I like having Kidd out there, man, even if it's at the two. I like Kidd out there with 2 minutes left, man. I think it's just... There's no downside in Jason Kidd on the floor with 2 minutes left of a close basketball game. You saw that in the Charlotte game when Jarrett's the buzzer beater. If Jason Kidd doesn't call that timeout, that buzzer beater probably doesn't happen.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is when you look at that, when you look at the final five, ultimately, right, and you can match up against, you know, teams, and that's an easy thing to do on paper, but I would prefer to do this. Melo is the best power forward in basketball right now. I mean, there's really if anybody would put resistance to that argument or that question and try to debate it, then you know they would to me it would be a very quick and short argument. He's been that good at that position, right? At the end of the day, from a roster perspective, it becomes about rhythm and it becomes about togetherness. They've won 21 games without Amari Stoudemire. They've won a bunch of games. They've done a lot of positive things with Jason Kidd finishing games and Ray Felton being in the lineup, and both of them being in the backcourt together. So now you have Felton, Kidd, and if you want to inject JR into that situation, then that's great. You know, and you've watched this team more than anybody. When all of a sudden there has to be an adjustment and, hey, you've got to point at a role player and that role player has to jump into the game and play that role, that's significant. Rasheed Wallace has done that completely all year. Camby hasn't done that yet. I think everybody's kind of waiting to, you know, what's Camby going to be able to bring and such. But Rasheed has proven to be a very, very good, trusted, and that's the key word, trusted role player. Is Amari a trusted role player? Is Iman Shumpert a trusted role player to this core, to this group? You know, these guys who are going to be coming in now? No. And that, to me, is always the question mark. You have what you have, and those are the guys who are there every day, and you have the trust from each guy on the court that they're going to play their role. Novak has that trust to a degree of banging down jump shots. He hasn't been doing that lately. Ronnie Brewer obviously hasn't been doing that lately as well. So they have a lot of question marks. But the good thing is they're 11 games over 500, and it's still just early January. And they have a five-game lead in the Atlantic. But they can't rest on their laurels. They've got to make sure that when they inject these new players into this thing, that it's got to work. If it doesn't, then they've got to think about making changes.
Tommy, as always, man, great job. Have you back on in a few more weeks because I think we actually have a lot more to talk about. But got to bounce now, but great job. Always great talking Knicks with you. Great insight, excellent insight. And, boy, as a fan, obviously, I like to think I'm both. I like to think I know what I'm talking about, and I love this team more than anybody. I hope this works. I really have a soft spot. I'm not going to lie. As a fan, I'm sure you do too. We have soft spots for Amari. So we really want to see this work. I mean, if the Knicks are to go deep in the playoffs, there's no player I'd want to see more, you know, involved in the celebrations and hitting a big shot than Amari. I mean, we'd love to see it, and hopefully, you know, they can really find a way to make it work. I think every Knicks fan just about has a soft spot for Stat.
listen, you make a great point. He was the guy that turned the corner, you know, and said, I'm staking the claim, and I think there's a lot to that. And, you know, he deserves a chance. To me, like I said on the site today and then watching it yesterday, something things and what I've been hearing, things just don't add up. It doesn't seem right. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. And we'll talk about that moving forward. But I gotta say to you, man, I'm proud of you, and just keep doing what you're doing, bro. Because you know what 2013 is another year of opportunity, and if that's for those who really want it, go out and grasp it. I know you're one of those dudes, and I'm just happy to be a part of what we're doing.
Absolutely, Tommy. Thank you so much for the kind words. Thank you so much for the insight, and have a wonderful night. Happy New Year.
Cheers, bro.
Have a good one. That was Tommy D of the Knicks blog right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, it's been a great show tonight right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/AnthonyDonahue. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Hit my new website, www.AnthonyDonahue.com. You can hear past episodes on iTunes.com, and just go to Anthony Donahue. Always go to the Knicks blog for your up-to-date New York Knicks information. We'll be back on the air next week right here on theknicksblog.com. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.